before you go to sleep or take a nap, you might want to hear this. They were sleeping. Suddenly, their house was shaken. There's earthquake. No, it was bam. Their dream house was destroyed. Why? What's happening? Raging wars, scatters, fears in various continents around the world. Politicians, particular demonstration groups are shouting condemnation of war, while opposing groups are vocal in their approval to war. Still, cause-oriented groups actively promote peace, but human efforts produce temporary solution. The memories of wildfire that burned to ashes a whole community at a tourist destination is still fresh. Then you heard about flooding, earthquake. What is happening in the world? Are you shaken? Are you scared? Are you anxious? What can we do in times of uncertainty? Let us reflect on what Christ had warned in Mark chapter 13, verse 7 to 8. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. Our practice of faith in Christ, this includes our trust of His warning, that His warning will come in the perfect time of God. Christ had warned that what may practically happen before He returns. Wars, earthquakes, famine, flooding, natural calamities, and then Christ will come, returns, and takes us into heaven. Be sure you are aware of that. Christ did not reveal the exact date of His coming, of His return, but His warning should remind us. These are reminders for us to prepare for our eternal residency in heaven. It's no joke. These tragic disasters around the world, it can bother anyone, anywhere, religious or not. There is no ideal life where there is no calamity, where there is no disaster. But no matter how challenging disaster or struggle we may hurdle, we still can sense peace in our hearts, peace in Christ. How is that? Let's read what Christ declared in John chapter 14, verse 26 to 27. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. We always remind everyone to seek and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand the Word of God. Without the Holy Spirit, our human limited intellectuality cannot grasp or reach the lesson that God had prepared unless we are prepared by the Holy Spirit. We have struggles, we have difficulties, and it can cause anxiousness among us. But we still, even in the midst of difficulties and struggles, we can sense that peace in Christ. We find peace by faith in Jesus Christ. While anyone can be disturbed, anyone can be anxious when tragic disasters strike, But sometimes the Lord allows adversities, allows struggles, allows us to have problems that we cannot solve by our own human effort. We do our best, and still we cannot find exact solution for our problem. Why is that? It could be that God is causing us to seek His help, to come to Him and see His miracles, His power, His love, His grace. And as we realize His mercy and grace, we can agree that obedience to God is beneficial to us. It is when we obey the Lord that we experience much of His blessing. Think about this. For you, parents, or even children, how many children readily obey their parents? When parents say, "Go and brush your teeth," what would children say? While they are playing computer, or maybe watching their favorite movies. Tweet, 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 tweet. Somebody published that, "I tell my children to do their chores. They sing like birds. Tweet, 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 tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet." What is tweet, tweet? Wait, wait, wait. Tweet, tweet, tweet. But the mother heard it's tweet, tweet. When my children need something, they sound like cows. Moo, moo, moo. Why is that? It's human nature. It's human nature. The Lord commanded us to store up treasures for eternal residency. If we can conceptualize the command of God, that the command of God favors us, we readily obey. Let me emphasize that. If we conceptualize, if we can imagine that the commands of God is beneficial to us, we obey. Why is it that we don't obey? Because we just cannot see, visualize, conceptualize that it favors us. Children cannot conceptualize that obeying their parents is beneficial to them. And most often, we are like children. We act like children. We want God to wait. Wait, God, I will do this. I want to finish my project. I want to finish my dream. I need to do this first before I obey you. Wait, God, wait, wait, wait. We want to accumulate much wealth for better life, which is wise, practically. Others want to have their legacy. We want to leave a legacy of what they have accomplished. How about us? What is our legacy? What is it that we want to accomplish that would translate to eternal relevance? If you are trying to accomplish something, pray that what you have accomplished, that legacy that you may leave behind, would translate to eternal significance, eternal importance. Let's read again verse 12 of our passage. We work hard with our own hands. When we were cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Apostle Paul pointed out to the church of Corinth that they practically work hard to support themselves in their ministry. He didn't solicit financial support from Corinth. He exemplified, but by the grace of God, that the grace of God is sufficient enough for them, even if that means they may work with their heart. He knows that it is God who provides them that strength, that opportunity to work. Apostle Paul and his mission team had to work with their own strength to support themselves, to support their ministry, because at that time there was economic crisis that affected the world, everyone, especially in Judea. He wrote it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 to 3. Apostle Paul wrote this, "On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem." This is advisory. This advisory has inspired a collection of offerings every Sunday, first day of the week. And originally, it's a collection for financial assistance when the church in Jerusalem had economic struggles. And Apostle Paul did not ask the Corinthians for financial assistance for themselves, for his mission teams. It was for support to the church in Jerusalem. So why did he write about them about their hardship? Why did he try to picture themselves as needing financial support? Well, in hardship, the more they experience the grace of God, they endured persecution. People cursed them, but they blessed and not retaliate. Every genuine disciple will be persecuted. Have you been persecuted because of your faith? Do you feel like you're persecuted because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's reflect on what Christ had warned in John 15, verse 20. "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Remind his disciples. Christ is the truth. Whatever he says, whatever he declares, will come true. If he said, just as they persecuted him, disciples will be persecuted. It is real. Are you anxious? Are you scared? When we practice our faith in Christ, we expect the enemy of the gospel won't just relax to watch us or ignore us. No, there will always be resistance to the good news of salvation. Someone somewhere will just resist. We can be cautious. We can remain silent of our faith in Christ. We don't need to tell others about the gospel. But what does it profit us if we don't? It is disobedience, actually, because the Lord Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." We are to witness of what the Lord has done in our life. What has the Lord done in your life that you may tell others? What is it practically? Fathers, do you have favorite child? Do you practice having favorite child? Ronald says, "Yeah, I have favorite child because I have one child." "I have favorite son," he says, "because I have one son, only one son." Joseph was a favorite son of Jacob, his father. His brother hated him. Why? Jacob gave the best robe available to Joseph. Joseph stayed home. He had the comfortable robe. In this fall, when you come, you were wearing your jacket because it was cold outside, right? Imagine that. Joseph had comfortable robe while he was staying home. While his brothers, they work in the field, night and day, they stay in the field. They don't go home. They stay with the sheep, the flock, and did not have comfortable robe. What do you feel? Your brother staying in a cozy house with comfortable robe. And you there in the field, the coldness, the hotness of the day, coldness of the night, you endured without comfortable robe. How do you feel? Will you be envious? Will you hate your father because he only gave his favorite son, Joseph, the most comfortable robe available at the time? Joseph was very obedient to his father, even if it seems like he was a spoiled brat. No, he was not. He was just obedient to his father. His father said, go, check your brothers in the field, ask them what they need, and report to me what they need, and we'll supply them. Go. He went. And from a distance, his brothers saw him. Maybe they recognized that beautiful robe. Maybe once, only one in that area had a person with that kind of robe. So when they saw him at the distance, they know it was Joseph. That is Joseph. That's Joseph. And what did they say to each other in Genesis chapter 37, verse 19 to 21, it says, 19 to 20. Here comes the dreamer, they said to each other, come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns and say that ferocious animal devour them. Then we'll see what comes to his dreams. You know the story. Joseph did not die in the, they didn't kill him. They sold him. He became prime minister of Egypt. And you don't know the story, go to chapter 37 of Genesis and so on, and you will learn more about that. Joseph was simply obeying his father, but his brothers plotted against him. This is biblical story that exemplifies siblings, relatives, anybody you care for, or anybody you may want to help, anybody you want to give assistance, may not necessarily care for you. They may not necessarily care about you. There are siblings, there are relatives, who may even take advantage of your generosity. You work hard for a better life, but you will still hear negative reaction from relatives. Relatives who cannot get what they want from you. They will say negative. Have you heard of the story? Person went abroad. When he went home, he arrived home. He just buy one gift for his best friend. And then his relatives heard about it. Why did he give that person? He's not our relatives. They were offended because that balikbayan, the person who went abroad, did not give them gift. And there are also individuals who are offended when you give them a very simple gift. If you give them just keychain, just keychain, or ball pen, that's ball pen. Or maybe they are expecting Nike shoes or something from you. You give or not give, they are offended. Have you encountered such ingratitude yet? How should we respond? Why does God allow us? Why does God allow such situation? It is for us to testify and show how God has blessed us by His grace. How do we respond when others resent us? When others say negative things against us? How do we answer? Let's read again verse 13 of our passage. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Apostle Paul and his mission team, they exemplified how we may answer kindly when people use abusive language against us. Have you encountered anyone who particularly take notes of your mistakes because you participate in the ministry? Because you are open, you openly say, I am a Christian. You openly say, I go to the Maples Evangelical Church. And they would take note. They would list your mistake. And then when the right time comes, they would enumerate all the mistakes that you have done, forgetting all the good things that you have done. Have you met somebody like that? They expect us to behave properly. Expect us to have that perfect behavior of being a Christian. They require us to be good, to be kind all the times. The way we speak, we should speak with words that are pleasant. They want us to say nice, comforting words to them when they need comfort. They don't want to hear rebukes from us. All those fluttering words, those are the things they want to hear from us. How could anyone have perfect behavior? Have you ever had that perfect behavior yet? How can anyone be good and kind all the time? How could anyone choose nice, comforting words all the times? How? No one is flawless except God. No one is perfect except God. Still more individuals are offended by the flawless and perfect word of God. Even with the perfect God, they are offended. So how could they not be offended when we are not perfect? We are not flawless. Anyone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, anyone who does not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, they will resist anything that comes from the Lord. It's not you they are resisting. It's the Holy Spirit living in you. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, let's read together. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Maybe they wouldn't say, oh, that's foolish, maybe, but they would ignore. So they imply that it's foolish. If it is wise, they would have accepted, but they just cannot understand it, because they can only discern it if they have the Holy Spirit. Only the person who has the Holy Spirit can discern anything that comes from the Lord. So when someone resists you, when you are sharing the good news, when someone resists you, when you try to testify about what the Lord has done in your life, pray that they may be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we also have to rely upon the Holy Spirit so that we can respond in kindness. Apostle Paul and his mission team did not retaliate when abusive words were thrown at them. They spoke tenderly in kind words, even when they were treated like filthy garbage. Stinky garbage, stinky smell can bother anyone. How about abusive language? Abusive language can irritate anybody. Interestingly, abusive language, our response when we hear abusive language, it can practically signal if we have active faith or we have not. How do we know if our faith is active? How do we know if we are practicing our faith in Christ? How do we know when we are depending on the Holy Spirit? How do we know if we are following the examples of Christ? Now let's meditate on what happened to Jesus when he preached among his people, "This is Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the truth." He speaks the truth. But what did his listener do? In Luke chapter 4, verse 24 to 30, let's read together meditatively. "Truly I tell you," he continued, that was Joseph, Jesus speaking, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. As I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." God sent Elijah to a widow who trusted his word. God allowed Naaman to be cleansed of leprosy when he obeyed his word. Jesus proclaimed this reality, that Elijah was not sent to everyone, that Naaman was the only one who was healed with leprosy in the time of Elisha. And the people who saw Jesus from childbirth until adulthood, they were not impressed. They were offended instead. Such is a reality that it is not easy to convince everyone to believe in God. We cannot convince everyone. So be prayerful for divine appointment. Someone out there may have been prepared by the Lord for you to testify, but keep on praying. If you care for that friend, that office mate, that relative whom you want to come to know the Lord, keep praying. The timing of God will come. Perfect timing of God will come. We are advised to rely, be inspired, be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. If that is one prayer that you can pray, pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even when you don't understand why, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Someone will say, "Will the Holy Spirit of truth guide me in my studies? What do you think?" If you have no doubt, if you have doubt, I should say, ask the Lord to increase your faith to believe it. "Will God, the Holy Spirit guide me to choose the right job for me, the right career for me? What do you think?" If you still have doubt, ask the Lord, increase my faith, and you would trust that the Holy Spirit of truth will guide you into truth. Learn how to stay away from anyone who resists the Lord. Learn how to avoid the one who resists the Lord, like Jesus did. He did not try to convince everyone, even those people in his hometown. Those people in his hometowns, surely they have relatives there. But those relatives in his hometowns, friends, those people who knew him from childbirth to adulthood, they were the ones who resisted him. What did Jesus do? He speak the truth and walk right through on his way. He left them. Let's read again verse 14 of our passage. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. What did Paul advise the Corinthians that he was warning them? Paul exemplified how they work hard. Paul exemplified that they blessed when they were cursed, that they endured persecution, and they answered kindly. He counted the Corinthians as his spiritual children. He considered them as his spiritual children because he shared the gospel of Christ to them. He helped them understand the scripture more clearly. Personally, we understand. We trust and obey the teaching of Christ only by faith. We can only obey the Lord because we see that his commands are favorable to us. How is your faith in Christ lately? If you were to assess, evaluate your faith in Christ, how strong is it? Have you heard the command of the Lord lately? What command of the Lord have you heard that it keeps ringing in your mind? Well, are you looking at people who may have used to tell you, oh, I don't believe that because it's the person that I don't believe who said it? In the ancient Jewish culture, women were not readily accepted as leader. So when women speak in the Jewish culture, the ancient Jewish culture, they think it's just a gossip. That is how they think. When women speak, they are just gossiping. They are not telling the truth. But let's reflect on the situation of Deborah in Judges chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidus, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelite went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, Lord, the God of Israel commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Think about that. Why did Barak said that he would just go, and if Deborah would go? Did Barak doubt that he was not actually commanded by the Lord? Because it was the prophet Deborah who told him. It was a woman who told him to go. He was willing only to obey as long as Deborah went with him into battle. There's this hesitation. Hesitation to obey the Lord. He wanted to obey with one condition. Hesitation in obeying God. This is common among Christians. Why? When there's hesitation to obey, it only implies we are dependent on our human effort. We are not dependent on God. We have doubt. When there's hesitation to obey, pray for increase of faith. Barak may have been scared. Why? He had no experience. He was not the leader at the time. Yet he was called, come, lead the people in Naphtali. You Go and wait there. I will give into your hand, the Lord said. No, I don't have experience in battle just yet. He was aware also that the Israelites were scared. The Israelites were scared. How can I lead them? How can I lead these scared soldiers into battle? I am also have hesitation. How? What else? He was not ready yet to accept that a woman tells him what he should do. A woman told me what to do. How is that? How is that in my culture? Do I have no pride as Hebrew? Maybe. I don't know. Together, let's reflect on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you sense that Christ loved you? Do you? In what practical way do you sense that Christ has loved you? Of course, we know that Christ died for our sins, but in what other practical way? If we sense that love of Christ in us, if we can really internalize that we were freed from sin because Christ died for our sin, we walk in the way of love. Love. We can endure persecution. Even when others persecute us, we endure because Christ reigns in us. We can also work hard, do what is best, what we can, and bless anyone who speaks abusively. If they speak abusively, we answer kindly. What else? We diligently obey the Lord. Why can we obey the Lord? How can we obey the Lord? When His Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life, we have that love, love to obey the Lord. We have that peace, joy, joyful peace. And to be assured that when we obey the Lord, it's favorable to us. The Lord commands not for His sake, it is for our sake. Elizabeth Elliot said, fear arises whenever we imagine everything depends on us. Do you have that fear of obeying the Lord? Fear arises whenever we imagine everything depends on us. Fear can paralyze, but faith in Christ help us obey the Lord. When we sense fear, know that we are relying on ourselves. But by faith in Christ, we love to obey God. And fear, no fear of failure. Are you afraid of failure? You are depending on yourself. Now, you do things, you are not thinking about failure. You do things because you know that one day it would come out great for you. By faith in Christ, we love to obey God and no fear of failure. Pray for increase of faith, inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Shall we pray?